Welcome, Weirdos! I'm Darren Marlar, and this is your Weird Darkness Weird Dark News. I saw the eyes. It stood about 10 or 11 feet tall and my heart was racing, says Jane Vespy. Vespy lives in the town of Highland, Ulster County, which is quite interesting in itself since the Highland is located in the Hudson River Valley, in an area where shaggy humanoid creatures are very often seen. Vespy says she has seen what she believes is Bigfoot in the dark 4 times and took a video of what she saw. These eyes were really red, and I looked out my window and I saw it. It was scary because it was standing on my lawn and I knew it was out there. Vespy says she frequently hears strange, loud noises at night and that the creature has carried garbage cans across her lawn, damaged a shed, and often bangs on her house. She repeatedly tried to film the creature, but since it only came at night, little could be seen on the video, so there's no point in my even trying to share it with you. Jane also took some photographs of footprints from the Yeti on her lawn. The Yeti last came to her yard in early May, but Jane is sure the creature comes to her much more often than she has noticed it, because she very often hears strange noises from her backyard at night. The morning after that, Jane finds her trash cans overturned and scattered across the lawn, so she thinks the Yeti is rummaging through her trash in search of scraps and then throws the cans at random. She also said that something damaged her shed, which stands there in the backyard, and that the Yeti allegedly tried to damage her house itself several times. It's hard to say what's really going on here. Maybe this woman is just looking for the attention of journalists. Or maybe there was a flock of ordinary raccoons who loved to dig in the garbage. According to local cryptozoologists, at least one large Yeti family lives in the Hudson Valley, and they allegedly regularly find facts of their existence in the form of traces, unusual structures from branches in the forests, or eyewitness observations. Do you have weird dreams? A recent study published in the journal Pattern set out to examine why our dreams are so different than everyday life to begin with. If you've ever experienced a seemingly weird dream, know that it is perfectly normal. There is obviously an incredible number of theories of why we dream, according to Eric Howell, a research assistant professor of neuroscience at Tufts University who worked on the study. But I wanted to bring attention to a theory of dreams that takes dreaming itself very seriously, he says, that says the experience of dreams is why you're dreaming. When training artificial intelligence, Howell noted that the technology begins to mirror data as an exact representation of what it'll come into contact with. He says data scientists combat this by throwing in chaos, or what's formerly called dropout, during the training. So if the artificial intelligence were to be driving a car in a simulation training, the experience would include general surroundings that people would see on the road to imitate what it would actually be like to normally drive a car. Howell explained that this is how the brain works too. The original inspiration for deep neural networks was the brain, he said. If you look at the techniques that people use in regularization of deep learning, it's often the case that those techniques bear some striking similarities to dreams. Simply put, brains create dropout during dreams, so people could have a better grasp on reality. It is the very strangeness of dreams and their divergence from waking experience that gives them their biological function, he wrote. Howell noted that the way to notice similarities between your real life and dreams with dropout is by repeatedly performing a task in your day-to-day, and then your brain will create this generalized action in your dreams. Life is boring sometimes, he said. Dreams are there to keep you from being too fitted to the model of the world. A shape-shifting boar demon was beheaded in Deepak, West Java after it stole money and valuables over the past month. At least that's what the residents of Badahan Village in Sawangan Subdistrict believe, but their story about a bobby-eaten pet terrorizing their village has become national news in a country with deep supernatural traditions as Indonesia. In Indonesian lore, a bobby-eaten pet is a person who uses a black magic-infused cloak to transform into a wild boar. In boar form, they would sneak into people's homes and rub their bodies on the walls and furniture, which would magically draw the household's money and valuables. When the Bobby Nigbet shifts back to human form, the stolen fortune is contained in the cloak. The villagers of Badahan were certain that only a Bobby Nigbet could have been responsible for their money going missing over the past month, In late April, 12 men of the village were butt naked because they believe that's the only way that they could see the demon with their own eyes, for some reason, and found the Bobby Nicopette, which they captured and caged. While the villagers initially wanted their fortune back, they said they saw the beast gradually shrinking, so they decided to kill it before it could vanish. In a video that has gone viral, a respected figure at the village is seen calling on the Bobby Nicopette's family to come forward before the villagers execute it. It's on Twitter, and I'll leave a link to it in the show notes. Nobody came forward, so the villagers beheaded the boar and buried the body parts separately so they don't somehow magically fuse back together. Nobody has come forward to report any of their family members missing, presumably from their tragic Bobby Nicopette adventures either. Now, I hope I don't have to tell you the story was entirely based on the claims of the villagers and that nobody besides them actually saw the so-called Bobby Nicopette. Nevertheless, the local police got involved and said that the boar they saw was just a regular swine. We worried that the whole thing would attract crowds, so we dispersed them as we are still in the COVID-19 pandemic, Sewanggan Police Chief Rio Mikhail Tobing said. The story still broke, though, nationwide, to the point that the Indonesian Institute of Sciences had to come forward and say that there is no such thing as a Bobby Nicopette. It's possible that the creature was made a scapegoat, or scape boar, as it were, by the villagers, who have been hit hard economically by the pandemic. If that were the case, who are we to deny them this temporary distraction from their COVID circumstances? You should be careful about the photos you share online. By posting a picture of your vaccination card, for example, you risk revealing your full name and date of birth, which opens up the possibility of identity theft. But you should be even more careful if you're a drug dealer dealing heroin and cocaine. Even an innocent picture of a block of cheese can contain enough personal information to convict you. Today's technology allows a wanted criminal to be tracked down by the fingerprints on the photos they post. As the Liverpool Echo reports, we have Merseyside Police to thank for this discovery, who successfully tracked down drug dealer Carl Stewart and convicted him of conspiring to supply cocaine, heroin, MDMA, and ketamine using a simple photo of a piece of cheese on which experts were able to identify his fingerprints. Stewart was sentenced to 13 years and 6 months in prison after pleading guilty to the charges. The South Dublin court has found Deidre Morley not guilty of murdering her 3 children because of insanity. After deliberating for over 4 hours, the jury in the case handed down the verdict on all 3 murder charges laid against the 44-year-old former nurse following a trial that has attracted international attention. Morley reported killing her 3 children, Connor, age 9, Dora, age 7, and Carla, age 3, on January 24, 2020, at their home in Newcastle, South Dublin. She later admitted to smothering her children using sticky tape and plastic bags while the children's father was away at work. While she had planned to kill herself as well, she passed out from medication and alcohol before she could carry that out. The bodies were later found by their father, Andrew McGinley, that evening. During a subsequent trial, during which her attorney pleaded insanity on her behalf, the court heard evidence that the accused had a long history of depression and that this had escalated to a full-blown psychosis at the time of the killings. This included testimony from 2 psychiatrists who described Morley as suffering from bipolar disorder and genuinely believed killing her children was for their benefit, as she considered them as having no future due to her mental illness. In instructing the jury before deliberations, Justice Coffey stated that the psychiatric testimony clearly showed the defendant was acting on an irresistible impulse and that she was not aware that her actions were wrong. The doctors are unanimous in their view that she was legally insane when she smothered and killed her 3 children, he said. This is not a case where the prosecution seeks a finding of murder on any count. Under the UK's Criminal Law Insanity Act 2006, the judge is now obligated to commit Miss Morley to a designated center, which is believed to be the central mental hospital in her case. While at the center, a consultant psychiatrist must now review her case to determine her future. Proceedings are adjourned until May 31st to allow for a report on Miss Morley to be furnished to the court. Scientists will soon be able to erase the memory of bad moments in a person's life. ATR Computational Neuroscience Lab's computational neuroscience team has created the unique DECNEF scanner. Its existence in itself is a cause for criticism, they say. There are serious ethical problems. People are not ready for the fact that artificial intelligence is able to change the human personality. The memory editing technology was named DECNEF. Its original goal is to treat people with PTSD. It uses electromagnetic pulses similar to those used in a conventional MRI machine. The scanner measures various changes in a person's brain, such as the level of oxygen supply to the blood. The collected data is transmitted in real time for analysis by artificial intelligence. It draws specific areas of the brain at the moment when a person has memories. As explained by the scientist of the company, Aurelio Cortez, artificial intelligence plays a critical role in understanding human brain processes. The scanner monitors the areas of the brain where painful memories arise and helps the patient control those impulses. The technology then starts the cut-and-replace process. Activity in one part of the brain is replaced by another. Different impulses are sent. As a result, it seems to a person that these events have not happened to him before. Which would be very useful for me if I could get rid of those ex-girlfriend memories. But using artificial intelligence might be dangerous. Scientists are confident humans have zero chance of surviving a war against artificial intelligence. If in the future there is ever a collision of machines and people, the latter are doomed to death, and all because AI is more developed than the human brain, according to Futurism. Nobel laureate Daniel Kahneman is convinced that the destruction of humanity by machines is just a matter of time. As soon as human knowledge becomes obsolete, the battle can be considered lost. The fact is that a person can go for many years to one discovery, and in AI it is enough to load a program with calculations and the time spent will take no more than a few minutes. Kahneman says that humanity can never bypass artificial intelligence, even though humans have invented AI. Daniel said that technology today is building our world, and tomorrow it may well cause our destruction. Artificial intelligence is already replacing many professions. In China, for example, there are hotels where robots make everything instead of the usual staff. Only one scientific breakthrough stops people from tragedy. As soon as the AI learns to make decisions on its own, while devaluing the orders of people, it'll question the leadership qualities of a person and enslave the entire planet. If we are destroyed by AI someday, how long before we actually die after we're dead? Well, according to a new study, researchers discovered a new fact about activities of the human brain after human death. A team of researchers from the University of Illinois Chicago have discovered this fact. Previously, scientists had assumed that everything in the brain would stop when the heart stopped beating, but this study indicates towards another result. Now they have found that in the hours after a person dies, certain cells in the human brain are still active, and some cells in the brain even increase their activity and grow to an enormous proportion. They discovered this new fact analyzing gene expression in fresh brain tissue. The study showed that gene expression in some cells even increased after death. The UIC researchers, in a newly published study in the journal Scientific Reports, analyzed the expression in fresh brain tissue. They had taken the tissue during a routine brain surgery at multiple times after the removal to simulate the postmortem interval and death. From that, they found gene expression in some cells actually increasing after death. Zombie genes, those that increased expression after the postmortem interval, were specific to inflammatory glial cells. The researchers observed that glial cells grow and sprout long arm-like appendages for many hours after death. But they found another group of genes involved in human brain activity such as memory and thinking activities to rapidly degrade in the hours after death. The third group of genes, named the zombie genes, increased their activity at the same time when the activities of the neuronal genes were degrading. From the research, they found that about 80% of the genes analyzed remained relatively stable for about 24 hours. The researchers further mentioned the advantage of those findings is the knowledge of which genes and cell types are stable. It'll also help to know which genes and cell types degrade and which increase over time. Therefore, it'll enable us to better understand the results from postmortem brain studies. Well, as you know, the weird dark news touches on extraterrestrials and UFOs quite a bit, so you knew it was coming. Not long ago, leading U.S. astronomers gathered in the U.S. Congress to report that extraterrestrial life does exist, beyond any doubt. They cited the size of the universe as the most important evidence, stressing that there are trillions of stars in the universe, and one in five of them likely has an Earth-like planet. The number of habitable worlds in our galaxy is certainly in the tens of billions minimum, and we haven't even talked about moons, and the number of galaxies we see other than our own is about 100 billion, according to Seth Zostick, senior astronomer for the California SETI Institute. This time, NASA and the Library of Congress teamed up to bring together scientists, theologians, philosophers, and historians from around the world for a two-day symposium to discuss how to prepare the world for extraterrestrial contact, whether with microbes or intelligent beings. One of the theologians present was Guy Consolmagno, who is the new president of the Vatican Observatory Foundation, and here's what he said. "I believe in the existence of alien life, but I have no proof. I would be very excited, and it would make my understanding of my religion deeper and richer in a way that I can't even predict yet, so it would be so interesting." He urges the public not to be surprised when extraterrestrial life is discovered, because it will inevitably happen. He even said that he'd be happy to baptize them if intelligent extraterrestrial life is discovered. The Vatican's very open to the idea of intelligent extraterrestrial life, and they've been expressing this view for a very long time. The Earth is not the center of the universe. It is not flat. And it is very likely that the next import paradigm-shifting revelation will be the fact that we are not alone in the universe. It's great to see the world coming together, discussing and preparing for this new reality. And it's a great transition to creating more awareness of a world of mystery, a world within our world that deals with projects that humanity knows nothing about. Don't forget the main argument was the size of the universe, emphasizing that there are trillions of stars, and one in five of them possibly has an Earth-like planet. Over the next 50 years, evidence has steadily accumulated that the components and conditions we believe are necessary for life are common and perhaps ubiquitous in our galaxy. Possibility that life originated elsewhere and perhaps evolved intelligence is plausible and worthy of scientific investigation, according to Dan Zostak. He continued, "If you extrapolate to the discovered planets, there are a trillion planets in the galaxy. That's a lot of places for life. We know that most stars have planets, but what proportion of stars have planets more like Earth? It's probably one in five." Scientists have discovered billions of Earth-like planets in our Milky Way galaxy alone, and these planets don't have to be Earth-like for life to originate on them. That's just what we think and assume. Who knows under what conditions life could thrive on other planets, or what's the biological makeup of an extraterrestrial life form? And if you're a religious person such as myself, how many planets did God create from? You don't think he'd stop with just one being a creator, do you? Whether you believe it or not, whether you accept it or not, the planet is about to be revealed. On Sunday, May 16th, CBS 60 Minutes had a segment that could change your worldview. Bill Whitaker's interview of Luis Elizondo, a government official and expert on UAPs, that is, Unidentified Aerial Phenomenon, was perhaps the strangest in the history of the show. It's true that since 2017, the government has been leaking information that pretty much unequivocally admits that things have been filmed, even pursued, in our airspace that we can't identify, that seem to be aware of us, and that exhibit aerodynamic powers that transcend anything we possess. The details and urgent tone of Elizondo reveal realities that the government has been covering up for decades, realities known and experienced by countless human beings all over our planet. But why has it taken so long to start to own up to what Whitaker said sounds wacky? Wacky may not be the right word. This is what Elizondo said. "Imagine a technology that can do 600 to 700 G-forces, that can fly at 13,000 miles an hour, that can evade radar, and that can fly through air and water and possibly space. And, oh, by the way, has no obvious signs of propulsion, no wings, no control surfaces, and yet still can defy the natural effects of Earth's gravity. That's precisely what we are seeing." One wonders what kind of technology produces the superphysical effects here described. The phenomenon seems like products of a psychic technology that enables one to travel about as one travels in a dream in accord with the logic of dreamscape. Why did or does the government want to conceal the truth from us? One point seems obvious enough. Mighty, God-blessed America does not want to appear helpless and baffled in the face of such an unknown power. The instinctive response is suspicious, possibly secret research conducted by our Russian or Chinese adversaries. A technology that can dance rings around our technology will of necessity be perceived as a threat. Elizondo states that one government official backed off from disclosure of the truth for theological reasons. The security expert Elizondo was told to read the Bible and know that these manifestations were most likely of diabolic origin, so the truth about them should be hidden from the public. Are we in the digital or stone age? A few things I can say with confidence, wacky or not, UAPs and UFOs are real, but real in a sense that is elusive, complicated, and very puzzling. They may well be a constant in human history, especially during periods of existential crisis, and show up as what C.G. Jung called archetypes. Weirdness in the U.S. noticeably increased in the 1890s with reports of floating sailboats in the sky, and the show goes on decade after decade, often, to use the term of John Keel's, in flaps. The mythology of the sky epiphanies is anything but uniform, but in fact has evolved. The first category is the most varied, sightings, more or less close. But it gets interesting for the theory of religion when sightings lead to contact with an unknown intelligence or an actual alien, presumably behind that sighting. The early contact mythologies were positive in spirit and aim, with a missionary bent. They brought hope in the future of our race. But at the same period, we find reports of variously nasty UFOs and occupants. Then in the 1960s, the weirdness gets weirder, and we hear reports of alien abduction. Sight, contact, abduction, talk about flipping! And mythology takes off in new directions. At the same time, it harks back to ancient mythologies of gods and goddesses in one way or another cohabiting with mortals. The aliens now seem interested in creating a new species out of our rough human hardware. They don't mind raping us to advance their reproductive experimentation. Whether all this is to be understood literally or metaphorically is not quite clear. John Mack studied the stories and the abductees and found them a challenge to our greater humanity. The mythologies vary and mean different things to different people in different cultures. Americans in the 1890s see different vehicles of the epiphany from what Americans in the 1950s and the 2020s saw. This seems to suggest that UFOs and UAPs are perceived in terms of the perceiver's subjective self. This is true, in spite, however, of the extraordinary variety of subjective elements that go into all the myth-making, there remains a hard core of objective strangeness that overturns our everyday sense of reality, forcing us to stretch our minds. In my one-reality-stretching UAP experience, I saw things that instantly expanded my sense of reality. What I and two others saw was like no conceivable vehicle in terrestrial space. Finally, after decades of evasion, the government is admitting that some wild anti-gravity entity is invading our airspace. Elizondo has hinted the story is going to take off as the government opens up gradually to what is known. We'll just have to stay tuned and see. Former President Barack Obama offered a blunt assessment of the videos of unidentified aerial phenomenon that have continued to gain attention in the United States. Barack Obama, just about a week ago, answered some questions about aliens on James Corden's Late Late Show. "What is true, and I'm actually being serious here, is that there is footage and records of objects in the skies that we don't know exactly what they are," he said. Reggie Watts, the program's bandleader, asked Obama whether he had theories or information about the UFOs, and then alluded to the former Navy pilot, Luis Elizondo, broaching the topic in that 60 Minutes interview I told you about earlier. Barack Obama said, "When it comes to aliens, there are things I just can't tell you on air." And then he added, "The truth is that when I came into office, I asked. I was like, is there a lab somewhere where we're keeping the alien specimens and spaceships?" They did a little bit of research, and the answer is no. The U.S. Navy has for years confirmed the legitimacy of videos from jet fighters that tracked unidentified objects, some of which moved in ways that aeronautics experts have struggled to explain. Obama continued, "We can't explain how they move, their trajectory. They did not have an easily explainable pattern. I think people still take seriously the task of trying to investigate and figure out what that is, but I have nothing to report to you today." This is not the first time a former president has spoken on late-night TV about UFOs. In December 2020, Barack Obama answered a variety of unusual questions from late-night talk show host Stephen Colbert. One of those questions was about UFOs. And more recently, former President George W. Bush talked with Jimmy Kimmel about UFOs. Kimmel showed Mr. Bush the night vision video filmmaker Jeremy Corbell published. Kimmel then asked if the former president would be surprised if we were visited by creatures from another planet. President Bush quickly and enthusiastically said, "Yeah." Meanwhile, the question about the UFOs literally chased President Biden away. It happened at a press conference recently while he was visited by South Korean President Moon Jae. And here is the audio from that question.
President Obama says that there is footage and records of objects in the skies, these unidentified aerial phenomena. And he says we don't know exactly what they are. What do you think that it is?
I would ask him again. Thank you.
And finally, alien life, if it does exist at all, is likely to look like us, according to a leading scientist. He also believes that aliens share our human weaknesses – greed, violence, and exploitation of others. Professor Simon Conway Morris of Cambridge University argues that aliens most likely evolved in the same way as Earthlings, and therefore resemble us to some extent in heads, limb, and body. Unfortunately, they also have our flaws and vices, which could make them dangerous if they ever visit us on Earth. The conviction of an evolutionary paleobiologist means that science fiction movies, such as Star Wars and Star Trek, may be more accurate than they ever imagined in their depiction of alien life. Professor Conway Morris believes that extraterrestrial life is likely to originate on a planet similar to our own, with organisms created from the same biochemicals. The process of evolution would even shape alien life in a similar way, he added. It's hard to imagine that evolution on alien planets would happen differently, he said. After all, the number of options is remarkably limited. I don't think an alien would be a ball. If aliens exist, they must have evolved the same way we do. They must have eyes and walk on two legs. In short, if there is life out there, it probably looks a lot like us. Not only could extraterrestrial beings be like us, they could also have our flaws, such as greed, violence, and a tendency to exploit other people's resources, according to Professor Conway Morris. They may come in peace, but they also seek a place to live, as well as water, minerals, and fuel. However, he also believes that since most of the universe is older than we are, they must have evolved further, and we should have heard of them by now. It's about time they showed up, he said. Thanks for listening. For more Weird Dark news and other stories of the strange and paranormal, visit us online at WeirdDarkness.com. I'm Darren Marlar.